If you would please, Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be reading verses 19 through 25. I would encourage you to keep your hand here. This is my text. I will be back. And as I read it, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our bodies sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can enter into your presence through the blood of Christ, through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. God became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. We draw near to you this morning based upon what Christ has done for us. In the gift of salvation, we have been, as it is, washed clean. Our conscience has been cleared. Our sins have been forgiven. We can enter into your presence. We're doing it as we pray, but as we sing and as we hear your word proclaimed, we can do that because of what Christ has done. He is faithful. So, Lord, as we look at this passage, we first praise you for the gift of salvation. But then, Lord, we see that because of this gracious gift of salvation, there's something we should do in appreciation and in a desire to have others draw near to you, God. So show us both sides of this this morning, I pray. Amen. We're in the midst of a sermon series titled Membership, Where Do I Fit In? And it'll run at least till the end of July. Last Sunday, we looked at 1 Timothy 3, 15 and 16, and we learned that the English word church had a very specific meaning in the Greek. If you were not here, or if you have not listened to it online or watched online, I would encourage you to do so, because it kind of is the foundation of where I'm going to go the next few weeks. But we saw that the word church, that we translate as church in English, in other places in the New Testament, is translated as assembly. The word church means assembly. Now, this kind of goes in with our theme, where do you fit in? A puzzle isn't complete if a piece is missing. We saw last week that church is not a place you go to, but a gathering of people you belong to. So the challenge is don't be the missing piece. Don't be that missing piece. Now, the church is more than just an assembly, obviously. The church is an assembly of believers who share a common confession of belief in what Christ has done. There's a basis for our assembly. There's, as we saw in 1 Timothy 3:16, there is a confession, a common confession that we hold, that we accept that we believe. As we see here in our text, Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Now you'll notice in verse 19, it has our old familiar friend, therefore. So as he introduces, as he moves to this portion of Scripture here, the therefore is the inevitable result of all that the author had been dealing with up till now. The book of Hebrews, based upon what he's telling us in the book of Hebrews, therefore, here should be our response. He's been dealing with the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, or if you will, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And basically that difference is, as he's been dealing with, the sufficiency of Christ once for all sacrifice. His once for all sacrifice. Look at chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is to say, not of this creation. Verse 12, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Look at verse 24. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Verse 28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin for those who eagerly await him. Chapter 10, verse 13. I'm sorry, verse 12. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. So the author's point here is that we have a great high priest because his sacrifice was sufficient, the totality, as compared to the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they were constantly shedding the blood of bulls and goats and animals. They had to do the sacrifice. Even on the most holy day, when the priest would enter the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood, they had to do it again next year. But the new covenant says, no, Christ was sacrificed only once. He doesn't die over and over and over and over. His death was sufficient once for all. And because of that, we enter into the presence of God freely. The way, Christ is the way of salvation. He's our way to enter in, it says, to draw near, to hold fast. Christ, the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, his death in the flesh on the cross is now the way in which we come into the Holy of Holies. He is at the Father's right hand. His sacrifice has been accepted. We don't have to re-sacrifice Christ. We don't have to keep doing it over and over and over. It's once for all. Christ is the way of salvation. Salvation is sure because of his faithfulness, not ours. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. The church is assembly of believers who share a common confession of belief in what Christ has done. And that is that Christ has saved us with his once-for-all sacrifice. That our great high priest, New Testament, is much greater than all the priests of the Old Testament. We don't need priests. We have a great high priest. And he has done everything necessary for us to enter into God's presence. But here's the twist. That acceptance that we have received in salvation leads us to focus on others. Verse 24. And let us consider how to stimulate, to motivate, all right, one another to love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Based upon what Christ has done, we should assemble together. Again, if you look at that, you say, well, since Christ has saved us, and it's once for all, and he's faithful to keep his promise, then I don't have to do anything else. Why bother? I'm going to heaven. What should my I've been accepted by God. What should be the outcome of that? How do I progress in that? Well, he tells us, verse 24. Focus on others. Focus on others. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. We see the word assembly in verse 25. We're continuing our theme of assembly. Based upon what Christ has done, you should assemble. Because assembling encourages your brothers and sisters in Christ. Verse 25. Not for forsaking our own assembling together. Okay. In common vernacular, what he's saying there is, you should go to church. You should go to church. You shouldn't forsake church like some do. But by going to church, you encourage one another. Encouraging one another. Based upon what Christ has done, you should assemble, because assembling encourages your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your brothers and sisters in Christ. Your presence alone encourages the others who have assembled. Coming to church isn't a decision about, how it will affect you. Not coming to church is a decision about how you're going to affect the other people that are here. Your presence here encourages others who assemble. I preached a sermon years ago, who does it hurt if you skip church? Well, according to this passage, who it hurts is the rest of us. The rest of us. Your presence encourages the others who are here. When you are an encourager, you can change the mood of just about everyone around you. So that's why verse 25 states that the ones being hurt by your absence is not you, but the rest of us. Based upon what Christ has done, you should assemble, because assembling helps your pastors and teachers disciple you. The lessons, the sermons are prepared with you in mind. The children's teachers have prepared their lessons for your kids. There is no value in teaching empty chairs. When you are not at the assembly, it discourages Sunday school teachers, youth workers, the pastors. besides the fact that you and your kids, if you have them, are missing the major way the church is designed to help you mature in Christ, the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit uses assembling in our sanctification. The Holy Spirit uses assembling in our sanctification. We grow in Christ by coming to church, by hearing the word, by hearing the prayers, by singing the songs. The whole context of the book of Hebrews, I believe, is that the Hebrew believers were in danger of falling away because of persecution. Because of persecution, when they turned from the old covenant to the new covenant, when they turned from the Old Testament system of sacrifices to the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ, the non-believing Hebrews began to pressure them, persecute them. Look at verse 32. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through the reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And yet, quote, for yet in a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. In the face of persecution, the author says, you should assemble more, not less, right? Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So if you're being persecuted for your faith, you would think the advice would be stay safe, stay home. But he said, no, don't do that. Some do that. Don't do that. You should come. You should assemble. A recent study showed that during the pandemic of 2020, the only group of people, the only demographic who actually improved in mental health were those who attended church weekly. Yet, yes, I know, Christ is our sanctification. But the means he uses includes assembling together, hearing the word of God preached. Now you go back to verse 19. Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence. So you notice the pattern there is, therefore, because of everything we should do, since that is true, here should be the outcome. So, since you are to assemble together, here's some things you should do. Here are ways to make your assembling together more meaningful to you, to make your church time more meaningful to you. Prepare ahead of time. Prepare ahead of time. A national research study revealed that the number one way people grow spiritually is daily Bible reading. But only 35% of active church members, churchgoers, study their Bible at least once a week. Yes, I believe preaching and teaching is a major component of Christian maturity. But you need to prepare for that preaching by reading Scripture yourself, studying, praying over the Scripture. We, most of the time, send out an email telling you what the text is, and providing with a Bible study sheet to help you meditate on the text. I have no idea how many people do it. I have no idea how many people even open the email. I have no idea. But I do know it's an opportunity for you to prepare for the sermon, for you to pray about the sermon, to think about the sermon, to think about the text. You should prepare ahead of time. I still occasionally have people respond to a sermon I did years ago about getting a good night's sleep on Saturday, right? And get up on time on Sunday. In fact, get up early on Sunday. We've all experienced the rush of trying to get out of the house on time, right? You know, if you got up 10 minutes earlier, it wouldn't be such a rush. But the thing that people often say to me about that was I pick my clothes out, which isn't hard. I don't have too many. I pick my uniform out on Saturday night so I don't have to think about it on Sunday morning. I just get dressed. Maybe you should lay your clothes out, lay your kids' clothes out. Just prepare ahead of time. Well, what else can you do to make your assembly together more meaningful? Bring your Bible or your Bible app. As you know, if you come to CBC, you need to have a Bible. You need to have a Bible. You're going to hear the Bible. The Bible's going to be taught. We provide you an outline to follow along to the message. There's a typo on it today. We never catch our typos until it's too late. So I will point that out in a little bit if you haven't found it already. But we provide the outline to help you follow along. What else can you do? Sing along. Sing along. We've looked at the text before. Singing helps fulfill the command to encourage one another, to teach one another. Just sing. Sing along. Invite a friend. Nothing will get you so invested in your church that knowing a friend is going to show up or come with you. Nothing will get you so invested in your church than inviting a friend. Introduce yourself to others. Introduce yourself to others. Now, I know human nature. We would prefer that other people introduce themselves first, right? But don't wait for other people. And certainly people who've been attending longer should make the first move. But if they don't, ask. You do it. Introduce others. Introduce yourself to others. What else can you do to make church more meaningful? Share Jesus with others in your life. Now, they will definitely benefit from that. They will definitely be helped. That will definitely help them. But it'll also motivate you to listen more intently to the sermons and to read and study your Bible to find the answers when you share Jesus with people and they have questions. This will help you as much as it will help them. Pray every day for your church and church leaders. We're just common folk like you. We have our strengths, weaknesses, problems, challenges. Pray for us. Start giving regularly. When you give to your church, you are not just investing money, you are investing yourself. Now, I have a bonus one. By mistake, I left it off, and after we printed it, I didn't change it. There's one other thing you can do, and that's get involved. Write that at the end of your outline. Get involved. Volunteer to serve. Remember, the point of church attendance isn't simply going to church, but being a part of it. Ask around for opportunities to help. I notice the folks who are most prone to complain about things, the preaching, the music, or whatever, are not involved in the solution. be involved in the solution. Guaranteed. If you're looking for something wrong about a church, you'll find it. Ironclad guarantee. Money back. If you're looking for something wrong about a church, you will find it. Why don't you purpose to be the answer, the solution? Church membership is an essential part of following Christ. Enjoy the fellowship of believers at CBC. Commit to God's mission with them. With your church, be an active agent for good in your community. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes all of us feel that, hey, I didn't get anything that Sunday at church. I didn't like the song, or I didn't track with the message. But Lord, that's because we spend too much time thinking about ourselves and the experience. We should be thinking about how we can help the others that are here. How can I assist them in learning about our relationship with Christ, singing, fellowshipping, praying with each other, asking how we're doing? So, Lord, my focus is on assembling. The writer of Hebrews was very clear. We should assemble more, not less. In the face of persecution, he tells the believers, you should assemble more, not less. So, Father, help us to assemble together, I pray. Amen.